G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the Loose Ballers. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do that wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, whatever, and leave us a rating, leave us a review. All right, get stuck in.
Hey, sorry, just on that, lads. Speaking of the BT50, did you see me in Mount Buller with my BT50 on the weekend?
Oh, I actually did, mate.
We're recording, aren't we? Not only was I turning heads down the slopes, but everyone was coming up to me, oh, my God, whose BT50 is that? That's unbelievable.
Is that what they said?
That's what they say when you drive a BT50 around the streets, mate.
Yep.
Gee whiz.
Yep, that's it.
Hey, what about, so we are recording this on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Just looking at, so Dill over here, we all get locked up with one gust of COVID breeze. So we're all very anxious at the moment. I just opened up where he's been, Subi Hotel.
Yeah, lucky not a lot of people go to the Subi.
My workplace is like 100 metres from the Subi Hotel. And the Indian Ocean Hotel, Indy Bar. That's
what days were the Subi Hotel?
Oh, God, who knows? Who knows?
Look, it's very, we're tying it pretty close to the line.
As Clarko would say, we're all in this together, guys.
Mate, if I've dropped in here and now you're a close contact,
I've got
I'm
going
to be pissed.
I've Rudy Gobert'd you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So another week in football where that's part of the thing with that 2 o'clock presser over here was – we were towing it very close to the line. If there was a lockdown, we got games on Sunday and Monday scheduled in Perth. That's kind of the season at the moment, isn't it? Like, we don't know. At this stage, we don't know what's happening next week.
Is it turning into a farce?
Are you enjoying it?
Legit season?
Well, it's more legit than last year.
Yeah, well, last year was like winning a Cricket World Cup, but you go, oh, I'm a World Cup winner. Oh, it was T20.
Yep.
Oh, it was T20. Sorry, I forgot to add that bit on it. So last year was hitting.
I'm starting to lose the love it a bit now. It's like last year. I actually thought, contrary to what you guys are saying, I think last year was survival of the fittest. Richmond won that, and it was unbelievable how they got through that season. But now everyone's just like, we're over this. This is a joke.
You got Sydney and GWS who haven't seen their family for God knows how long. You got. You're two games over here. Teams can't get in. You're staying in Joondalup Hotel. You can't get out of there. Grant Birchall texted me the other day saying he's in jail. I just think, and we're soon. You know how you know it's started to grind me? Because when they have a shot at goal and you hear the ball smack into the chairs at the back of the MCG, and you think, oh man, that's a shit noise to hear.
Funnily enough, the other day, I think we went out to Joondalup. The general news went out to Joondalup just to take some general sort of picks, COVID-y, players in lockdown. There were three players having a glass of red on the balcony.
Yeah.
And I think Brisbane were a bit concerned. They're like, oh, is that a good look? It's like, mate, these guys are locked down. No one cares. Like, that might have been a problem three years ago.
I heard someone at the West thought it was an issue.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was quite an issue.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, pull your head in.
It's really not.
No.
Yeah, no one cares.
So, like, Dill, they're sitting on the balcony, and it looks like a little bit of a, not a pap smear bloody shot.
A paparazzi shot.
Because it's a little bit of, through the bushes and stuff.
Yeah. Because you can't get in. It's quarantine.
Charlie Cameron.
Jared Lyons and Lincoln McCarthy.
They're all sitting around having a bottle of red, and it was on the
Paid 10.
And people no issue, but someone thought it was a bad look.
Yeah, there was people, I think, at clubs and stuff who said, oh, is that a bad look? But then I think everyone else just looked at it and went, like, that might have been an issue 5 years ago. Oh. Like, in 2021, round 20, nobody cares. Like,
no.
These guys are in lockdown. If they're having a glass of red wine, like, they're fine.
Are you speaking to any of the players still?
Well, just on that quickly, though, one thing we can definitely confirm in this day and age is people are not – short of finding things to complain about. Oh, so it's just good to see that hasn't changed, which has been fantastic. I've spoken to the boys. They're obviously back in Melbourne now, and it was crazy. They're in Melbourne, they're in Sydney, then they just jump on a plane back to Melbourne. And to your point before, Zave, about some of the Giants boys, I know Wardy's about to see his newborn and wife for the first time in 6 weeks, hopefully tomorrow, I think it is.
So yeah.
Pretty crazy for some of these blokes.
Mate, like, Caro Wilson, congratulations, you landed the Clarko. That was brilliant journalism. But now you go, all right, back to the St Kilda. Well done on that one. The St Kilda one where the boys came home to see their family.
Oh, yeah.
Now I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Cunnington did something similar as well. Like, it's not is it little Romeo deal? What's Cal Ward's kids? Is it Romeo? Have I got that right?
Romeo Ward, yeah, handsome man.
Imagine not seeing, like, little Romeo for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I couldn't do it. Well, you could because you're feeding your family, but far out. Yeah, it's hard stuff.
Especially if you're not, oh, no, I suppose Giants are right. They're just on the cusp, aren't they? There's like 19 teams on the cusp of making the eight and getting eliminated in the first week.
Yeah, but as I was saying, I think it's become a bit of a buddy.
You don't care who, like, you know, making the eight or whatever.
No.
But I say you look back on it, right? So this is, there's last year, which is to be too fresh for us to talk about. But the NBA nine, it was 99, Josh, the lockout, the contractual dispute, half year.
Yeah, it was the year after Jordan's last championship.
Tim Duncan won a championship that year.
Yeah.
People don't look back and say he won, you know, well, how many did he win in the end? Five?
Four, whatever.
He won three championships plus that one. That was a weird year.
Yeah, they also call themselves the world champions too. So I wouldn't
they got a few different issues going on there. But they don't discount it because it'll still be there.
Of course, it'll still be there. Like, and the same as the high jumpers who decide to split their medal.
You're just saying that in the moment, it's probably not as you're not as amped about it.
I got no enjoyment out of footy on the weekend.
Didn't you?
Nah, nothing.
It's because there were 400 games on Sunday.
Yeah, that change of games, the Frio. Richmond game was exciting for the last 5 minutes. It was an absolute shocker.
Yeah, no one could hit the side of a bar.
And that was about the closest of the weekend. Dill, are you finding it hard to watch them?
I think one thing has been established over the last 2 years is no crowds, no fans, no footy. Mm. Like, it shows how important the members and supporters of all clubs are, because even for me, I don't really go to watch games, but seeing them in the crowd and seeing the faces cutting the camera, how passionate they are.
Yeah.
You know, the oohs and ahs, and no matter how good they get at, you know, mimicking in that audio, it's just never going to replace it. And I know for a fact that the players want the fans there, and I understand at the moment there's a bigger picture to it, but it is hard to enjoy it without it.
I agree. Mm. And even like, this is a footy podcast, so it's a wider issue, but I saw yesterday Lifeline had the highest number of calls in the history of its organisation. So, I mean, it's tough for everyone. I can just imagine that the footy boys, completely different topic, but this is a footy podcast. There'd be quite a few of them that would be battling away with missing families and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, especially the boys have been dragged completely out of there.
Yeah, they're great. Anyway, that's interesting. Move on. What else, mate?
Now, we talk about the Olympics because the Olympics are up at the moment.
Yep.
Rowan Browning, he's my boy.
You loved it?
How good is he?
Thick boy.
I want to know what shampoo he was using.
Mate.
That hair was glowing. Like, that looked good.
As a man who has genuinely no ass, I'm so jealous of Browning.
Jesus.
Size of his ass?
Mm.
Jesus.
Dill, what do you reckon you ran 100 in?
Oh, geez, not that quick. But I honestly think, I was thinking about this last night, I think the quickest I ran it in was something around 12. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I reckon it would. Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always really good 0 to 20. So I'd be out. I'd probably have 5 metres on everyone.
Yeah.
And I suppose we'll get to this later when we talk about a certain race out on grand final today. I was winning it. I was like, I'm home. I'm cashed the $20,000 from Gillette.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
And then the parachute.
And all of a sudden, every single person came past me in the last 10 metres.
Did you see the 17-year-old American yesterday?
No, what was that?
And the 200.
Oh, that was great.
Cold in the next bolt. Anyway, Richo was interviewing him after, and he's like, you're the youngest person ever to make the final for 200. And he's like, really? Sheesh. That was his response. But he runs, and he just sits back in the pack, and then so Dill's winning. Then he just put, in fifth gear, and everyone's running with their head as stiff as a board looking at the finish line. He looks like he's jogging. Just looking out the side at him, like real, they've caught in the next bolt, which is a big bloody claim. But he's been my highlight of the Olympics so far.
Geez, that's one I've missed. I'm going to have to
just
go back and watch
on that, Dave, as well. That was obviously in the 200, so I think that final is coming out tonight.
Yeah.
Does that mean? Okay, I'm always fascinated about this because he mustn't be a 100 meter sprint. Obviously, he wasn't in it, but. He must get a lot of his pace in that second 100.
Yeah.
Like it's great. It's crazy to see how some of them are out of the blocks and they hold on, and the other ones are, you know, the bigger boys are normally that longer stride and they really pick up the momentum in the last 50 metres.
Yeah, no, the analysis of the racing's been incredible. Like I sat there today, had a small interest on a lady in the 400 hurdles, and I was like, there was a short favourite in it, and I was like, righto. They go, she will be winning, the girl I was on, she will be winning guaranteed as they hit the straight in the final 100.
Yeah.
And the other girl will come. And whether she gets there or not, anyway, I was on the leader with about 3 metres to go and then got pipped. But it was right. The girl is more of a shorter track runner originally. So she was completely stuffed by the end of it. And the other lady was a longer runner or whatever and just mauled her. I was like, the analysis of the Olympics, I think, has been spectacular.
The
Norwegian? The
men's
the 400
one.
Hurdles.
Mm. Yeah.
That was... do you know that they were saying, and I don't know if this is the furphy or not, but Gacy was saying that the time he ran, so first and second broke the world record.
I think
so
it was 45.
You get a silver medal and you've broken the world record. Yeah. You'd be pretty flat with that.
Well, they did it in the hurdles today as well in the females. Both of them broke the record.
In the hurdles.
Yeah.
They were saying that the race that he ran with the hurdles was quicker than any Australian record without hurdles.
Yeah. We spoke about that as well. He ran 45.95, I think it was. And can you, like, we see people hanging their ass out with no hurdles trying to run fast. This bloke's skipping. Is there 10 hurdles in a race or something? Like, it was amazing. And then ripped his shirt open. I felt like doing that at home with him. I was riding
up and about.
Yeah. Slight issue last night. I was watching the pole vault and I was cheering a bloke. He was killing it. Thought he was an Aussie, a bit like Steve Hooker. Finally pan in, he's Swedish.
Yeah, yellow.
Similar colours. Anyway, no, I've absolutely loved it. Browning's been, what's been your peak, Dill?
Peak's been Browning, love that. Yep. But I'm a big track and field man, so I'm very excited to watch the 200 tonight. But yeah, it was good watching the high jump the other night too. I wasn't a massive fan of splitting the gold. I don't know what you guys thought about it. But nah. I think if you're at the world stage, you want to, one, two, and three, I think.
Well, it just supports the issues in society about participation awards. Like, find a winner. Because the bloke who came third jumped the same height.
Yeah.
He just knocked one off earlier.
Did he get bronze or did he get silver?
He got bronze. But he jumped the same height as the others, but he had a bundle early. So if the Aussies win a gold medal, they get $20,000. You want to know why? You want to know why the Italian bloke was keen to split the medal?
What do they get?
$228,000.
Wow.
That's why.
Have you seen what Thailand get?
Yeah. But do you reckon they ever win one?
They get a mil.
Well, a mil.
Yeah, Singapore's high as well. But when was the last time they won a gold? That's what I'm wondering. Is it like, let's just put a magic number out.
You get $1 billion if you win a gold medal.
It reminds me of Kyle Sanderlands. So when he first started radio, it's a true story. They were going nowhere, the station wherever he was. I think it was our station. And in his paid bugger all, and he was half homeless, all that sort of stuff, moved to Perth. And he said in his contract was bugger all, but he said, if I get to number one this year, $1 million. And they laughed and said, yep, $1 million. And put it in the contract. Guess where they were two books in?
Jesus.
Number one. $1 million check coming his way.
He grabbed all the radio books that were distributed in the community.
Yeah, you got to collect 300 of them or something. $1 million, a check. Unbelievable.
Speaking of payday, boys, I'm not sure if this is real late news, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Paddy Mills to the Nets, 16
mil. Yeah, good. Loved it. What about though? They announced that the Paddy's 2-year deal. And then literally the tweet before it's Steph Curry's $250 million over the next 5 years. He's going to earn 50 a year or 56 a year or something ridiculous. But
stupid money in this.
Can the Boomers beat the Americans?
They have. A couple of weeks ago.
They can. I'd like to see us just not come fourth for 1 year. It'd be good to get in the top three. I think we can. Do we have the actual schedule out yet? Who have we got in the first round?
The
US tomorrow.
We're straight into the US tomorrow. About lunchtime. I think we're going to get pantsed.
It's going to be hard.
So footy-wise, there's different things bubbling around. A lot of the teams, like we spoke about, just trying to get ahead of COVID and figure out. The team over here, who it's strange to say, like they're almost, it feels like they're in turmoil, but they sit in the top eight.
Frio.
No, West Coast. So, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, like it seems like a combination of factors, but what's it? You really haven't been at a club that's ever been in this situation, have you, Zay?
Well, 2009, we missed the finals after winning the flag.
What was it? What starts to happen when you underperform like that?
Maybe I'm a little bit more qualified. I'll tell you what does happen is it's all well and good, and it's all easy breezy when things are going well to be very calm and to be vulnerable and talk to each other and not care about these little mistakes. But I'll tell you now, when you do start losing and the pressure amounts on, and it isn't great, but a club that I was at earlier, obviously at Carlton, everyone does go into survival mode, and you start worrying about yourself, your contracts, you've got other things going on, and that's why I know for certain that Carlton have really struggled in the past to become a successful team, is because no one ever really felt safe, and it's hard to have a club like that. And I think at the moment, I'm definitely not putting West Coast in that category, because I say it every week, I think West Coast are one of the best teams in the comp. They just have not performed this year at all. But I think it's just, as Dave said a few weeks, you've got to get together, regroup, have a big off season, get some of your key players really fit, and go for it. Because I reckon next year is probably their last chance with the, you know, list demographic they've got to really push for it.
Yeah, I think as soon as anyone from the board, the president, the CEO starts wandering around, that's when you think, oh shit, what's going to happen? I don't know. I just wonder at West Coast whether the young kids are pushing hard enough to like. Are they hoping that the old boys drag them to success, or are they trying to drag the old boys to success? I think it's probably one way, not the other. And I think maybe there's probably a group of old blokes that are doing what they need to do to be good, and they're not playing that well at the moment. And I just don't know whether the whole list is doing absolutely everything to be a professional footballer.
So do you think part of that's the fact that there isn't, like, that generation, the old boys, there's like a whole, it's like half a team though.
Yeah, but when I mean, like, in terms of being a professional footballer, when you get to the level of being the best, which they were a few years ago, it's autopilot. Bang, this is what we do, this is what we do. And then when you're not good, you need to do more. Mm. You need to get better. And you need to get fitter, and you need to do extra stuff. So maybe that may, and it was at Hawthorn as well, you just got in a routine of, this is what we do, this is how it happens, and it works. But if it doesn't work, you've got to change. So, and that's also their game style. Switching, I don't like the way they switch backwards and then can't go anywhere and kick long down the line. Mm. So they need a game plan change. I think they need to be fitter. You've lost Yo, Kelly, McGovern, Shuey, Barras for large blocks. Every year, if you have a bad deal, did you ever miss a preseason or have a long layoff? And what sort of season did you have output-wise in the end, if you look back?
Literally, not just saying this, but the one, I only ever had one preseason, fully preseason, and I played 18 games that year.
Yeah, it correlates.
And every other season, I missed preseasons, whether it was postseason surgeries or injuring myself in the preseason. And it really does, it does have a massive impact on your year. I think there's like a huge stat that Jack Russell, obviously one of your close workmates, Zave, is really big on, and it's getting a bulkier working in preseason because it does set you up for a massive, massive year.
Yeah, it absolutely correlates. And at the end of every year, you might have one good player who's missed a patch in a successful side, and they probably haven't had the best year of their life, but they've been carried a little bit, and they're good players. When you've got 60 best players getting injured, they think they can still do it. You know, they're not only hopefully getting carried in a successful side a little bit, they're carrying still the players that are below them, and they're not reaching the level they need to get to. So I think they've had a large portion of long-term injuries, which I don't know. I've had one good preseason deal and played every game. Like the other ones, interrupted, and you just get injured. You play like shit. You get tired. Your puff, your groin start to go. Your back starts to go. You can't do weights because you're so sore after a game. You're not training during the week. You're just in recovery mode, and you just don't get any better. And I reckon that they've also fallen into that trap a little bit. They're just naturally how it happens. If you miss large chunks, you're chasing your tail from start to finish.
So you think it's that sort of mid-tier that some of those kids, that top tier who've all had interrupted years, I think it's that next year below, and we really need to be eyeballed and say, like, you're not just here for an opportunity. We need you to help us win.
Yeah, and I'd say it's like Kokoda. When we did Kokoda, Clarko's theory, we did it in 3 days or something with backpack on, carrying logs, sleeping in mud, digging holes at 2 a.m., you know, all sorts of stuff. And it was obviously not a professional training camp. You know, you look when you hear Trav Boat goes to America and trains in elite facilities. Like, you're in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. And you're sliding around mud, you're falling over, there's taipans and snakes and shit everywhere. But Clarko in his mind's like, if you get injured, it's just bad luck. But the mental gains, the mental strength, obviously the physical stuff, but to get your brain through what you're going to get through in that 3 days, it's worth risking injuries. It absolutely is worth risking injuries. And you just hope it's not your best players that get injured. You just really hope it's not. And I remember when we did it, Bowman had stress fractures in his foot. And Clarko was almost like, it was expected to happen. Whatever, fix him. I'm not stressed. And if it was Franklin, it'd be the same. It'd be like, what we got out of doing this tough camp is better than what, you know, than having a fit training, people training Monday to Friday at home. I think West Coast there to go, righto, boys, cotton wool, out of it. You're all running a 2K, every single one of you, rather than half, all 45. And if you're not within 20 seconds of your time, you're in fat camp and you'll be training at 5 a.m. every morning. I think Simo needs to almost break them if they need to be broken. But when you're successful again, you massage your players and you just do 50, 60, 70% of your preseason and you do this and you can't do that. But now I reckon it's like, righto, for us to win a flag next year, we need to be as fit as we've ever been. And if we break you, we lose you, well, what's going to happen? And you're going to be shit anyway like they are this year. So I reckon it's balls in.
Well, you feel like this is the year that it breaks for them, right? Like the last two, they've underperformed since winning the flag from what you thought they would do after that. Was it first round both years or did they make the second round the year after?
They beat Essendon the year
after. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They beat Essendon in 2019 and then got done.
Yeah.
Last year got done by Collingwood at home.
By a point.
But still, like you'd expect them to at least make a prelim at some point in those 2 years.
They're not easy to win. Well, how's your mob going?
Yeah, no, not good at all. But that's what, like you'd expect at least one more prelim from that 2018.
But so you guys 2015 were top of the ladder, Freo.
Yeah.
And got bundled out in a prelim, home prelim.
Yeah.
And then what happened the next year?
Yeah, then they were completely off a cliff.
So it just happens.
Yeah, I know. I know it happens, but that's what I'm saying. Like it's now a pattern over 2 years. And we'll have a pause point here.
Keep going.
Yeah. it's a pattern over 2 years, and now this is the third year of it. I feel like if it's been building, now it's finally broken, and they're like, all right, what we have been doing, there's
been
excuses.
You're just a West Coast hater, mate.
I'm not a West Coast hater at all. My audience loves them.
Yeah. It pays the bills.
And I'm told constantly that I'm just sniffing the ligament for West Coast. It's been like there were excuses and reasons for 2 years. Now this is the third year with four or five really bad losses.
Yeah.
This is the year they go, okay, we have to break down and start and rebuild what we do.
Yeah, but I think they need, as I said, they need to change their game plan, their game style, follow a little bit more what Melbourne Bulldogs are the top.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, that's what they're probably stuck to.
But they need to be, they're stuck, they're backed in their game plan.
Yeah, and now they're finally after a long enough time and enough bad losses now, they're like, no,
I agree. But yeah, I think that they need to, as I said, they need to be fitter. Like when you're playing, and I don't know this because I wasn't a physical player, but Elliot Yeo, I love seeing Yoey get off out of a pack and whack Clayton Oliver this weekend and hit him in the chest. And then when he gets it, drive him into the ground. And when Max Gorn tries to pick him up, push him away. And then Luke Shuey's bloody trying to dart through packs and split people open. And when you're tired, that's the first thing that goes. You get tackled with the footy, you get on all fours, leave the ball on the ground, stand up, look around where your opponent is and then go, oh, shit, righto. Don't let him win it. And you just lose all that energy. And when you're fit, that's the stuff you love.
Well, you mentioned Clarko before. We'll move on from West Coast. Clarko, it was obviously all done last week. He's talked about having a year off, but everybody will be coming for him now.
Yeah.
Like, do we still – we talked around the same things, and I think we talked about it on Monday. You'd love to see him at GWS.
I wouldn't love to see him at GWS.
But you think it'd work?
I think it'd be a good fit. Yeah. I like Leon Cameron. He's a good man. So I don't want him to lose his job. Yeah, but I think in terms of list development, there's five or six stars there. There's five or six underperforming. And there's some young kids, which he's got a history of developing kids. And people say, oh, he's only recruited the last few years. Well, he developed Franklin, Roughhead, Lewis, Birchall, Rioli, all those guys. So he can develop kids, no dramas at all. So I just think there's a good mix there. Dale, what do you think, Clarko? Where are we seeing?
No, I love that point. As you said, I love Leon as well. But if we take the heads off all the coaches here, and I think I said this last week, we've got to be silly to think that there's only two or three teams in the running. When the best coach of the modern era is up for grabs, more teams are not having a look at him. And it's going to be really exciting, to be honest. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but it could be like the Buddy Franklin factor. We think he's going to the Giants, bang, he goes to the Swans.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be pretty exciting to see where he ends up and what happens. But wherever it is, they're lucky clubs. I think he's going to be pretty pumped to go and coach again.
It's quite exciting, isn't it, to think of him at a new club, like seeing him in different colours?
Well, it's exciting for how many people in Australia?
Just the ones who like AFL and don't go for Hawthorn.
They say it's exciting for 10 million. Yeah. It's not exciting for 16 coaches. I'll let Damien Hardwick off the hook, and that's about it.
Yeah. Everyone would be very, very nervous.
But as we said, the CEO's wandering around downstairs. That's when they automatically coach thinks Clarko's got me job.
Well, and you think now, like, yeah, Gold Coast, which are basically owned by the AFL, even if the whole Gold Coast board and CEO are like, we really love Stewie Jew, the AFL would be like, yeah, look, we get that.
Yeah.
You're having Clarko.
We love Dewey as well. We'll find Dewey a role.
We'll get him a role. We got head of footy ops going at the moment. He can do that. You're having Clarko. Here you go. Alistair, can you please fix this?
So Stewie Jew and Clarko, right? I think Dewey will be there next year. So, But Stewie Jew and Clarko have got a tight relationship, as everyone knows. Clarko got him back from America, went on to win a flag. Do you think Clarko would have some sensitivities around taking that job?
It sounds like it from the stuff that he was talking about with Sam Mitchell. Did you see much of that presser, Dill?
No, I didn't. I did see it, and it looked like a lot of the time, you know, Xavier, you'd know these two a lot better, but it looked like Sam was trying to get really emotional with it and heartfelt, but Clarko was trying to snap him out of it straight away. He really didn't want it to get too deep.
The absolute highlight of the entire presser was when Jeff Kennett, the journos are there thirsty to get a go at him, thirsty as you've ever seen. Kennett walks down and thanks to the traditional owners of the land. So they have to pause. Then he goes with reads a bit of a statement or went with something and then said, look, guys, it's bloody cold out here. You must be freezing. We may as well wrap it up. And I was like, are you serious, Jeff? Good try. And then Tom Brown, and then the journos are on the back foot from the start. They're like, we haven't got all day here. We need to get in. Well, when he said it's cold, we won't be in long. Righto.
It was weird that it was even outdoors, but now we know why.
Yeah, no, perfect.
He had a plan for politics. The whole time.
Politics. Oh. Hey, really quickly with me, Dill. Okay, Olympics. So we're just going to circle back. Actually, Will and Woody. So we know Will and Woody from the radio station. They've just posted a photo. This afternoon on the show, we're talking getting stranded in a costume. So in Bali, we got Woody this costume, like a little thing, little leopard skin thing. I don't know whether they know he's got a condom on his shoulder. There you go. I don't think they know that. Anyway, he's got tagged in it. What we're going to do is the AFL Olympics deal. We've got you need to pick a player and you need, for these disciplines, 100 metres, 400, 5K run, and then high jump, shot put, and swimming, okay? You got them, Nick, as well?
Oh, I'll have a think.
Have a think. So 100, 400.
100, I'm going. Oh, sorry, mate. You go.
Yeah, 100, 400, 5K. High jump, shot put, swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like it.
All right. So a player you've played with or against or whatnot, it doesn't have to be personal attachment or anything like that, but just who you would want representing you in the Olympics at that distance. Deal, we'll start with the 100.
100, I'm going Ben King. I raced this bloke a couple of years ago on the grand final sprint. And like I said, I had him over 50. I had him. And then he just went. Absolutely. He flew past me and I was just like, this guy is incredible. He was so quick and he's so big. It's pretty exciting.
Big Ben King.
Wasn't your hammy like off the bone at that point as well though, Dill?
That was my calf.
Calf.
Yeah.
So we got Big Kingy. Who are you going to go next?
Ben King.
I wouldn't have wanted to have a breatho before that as well.
Yeah. Was that when you got sent down to the goal square to fire up the GWS cheer squad when Sean Grigg had the Richmond 95,000 to fire up?
Yeah, that was probably one of the most embarrassing days of my life.
I just went Saad from Carlton.
Saad, okay.
He at least looks quick.
He does look quick. I'm going to go what I saw Lewis Jetta do to Cyril in the 2012 grand final.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be current player.
No, well, near enough. He retired last year. Louis Jetta for me in the 100. The 400. Deal.
Tough one. Don't know this bloke well, but I feel like Isaac Smith, the way he runs, I know he'd be good for the 5K, but I feel like the way he runs is that long-legged bounding. It's a bit more of that
400-meter
run. And the other one is Jeremy Cameron. I'd probably back him in.
Was he a good 400-meter runner?
Oh, he's so quick, mate. And I think 400, you want to be that bit more of a longer gait, I feel like. And yeah, those two boys would be unreal. I actually get mixed up with them sometimes in the field. I don't know if anyone else.
Agree.
The long leg, you see.
100%.
If Jesse gets up onto the wing and he hits one on the left, I don't know which one's which.
Complexion, their complexions, they're both a bit pasty. They're pasty.
Yeah.
They look a bit weathered in the head too. Like
single digit on the back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, mate. A couple of times I've seen, and Izzy's taller than you think as well. He's taller than a traditional winger. No, I agree with that. What about you, Nick?
Oh, I just picked Ed Langdon. Is that up and down the wing all day?
Ed Langdon for 400. I've gone with the emu, Lance Franklin.
Oh, really?
Mate, when he went, oh my God. It just took the piss out
this
of everyone.
Prime Lance Franklin.
Yeah, well, he could still go, I reckon, for one. But when back in the day, he used to repeat.
I coincidentally have a story about this.
Okay.
So the Footscray scout was Andrew Purser back in the day, and he was told to head down to PSA in year 12 to check out this guy, Lance Franklin, for the Bulldogs. Watches him win by 120 metres in the 400-metre final, gets on the phone and says, you have to draft this kid. He's 6'7" and just won by 120 metres. If he can play footy, he's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we don't really like him. So he was just like imploring them to take him.
They went Griffin.
Griffin, But that was, their WA scout basically told them, take him. They said no.
So a similar one with Richard Tambling.
Tambling,
Was it Tambling and Clarko and Roughhead? Sorry, it was Ruffy. They wanted Tambling. They're like, you're passing up a Brownlow medalist, Clarkson. They had a fight at the table, and Clarko got Roughhead. for me, so emu, and all I picture is an emu running. Clark used to call him emu, and he was skinny, and his legs would just go. He was unbelievable. But all right, 5K are there, Dill?
5K. I'm going Lockie Whitfield. I don't think anyone really covers the ground as good as him. Second to him when he's in his elite form, which he can do, I'd go Brad Hill.
Brad Hill?
Yeah, Brad Hill's a good call, actually.
Do you know Isaac Smith used to smack Brad Hill up in running?
Yeah, I have heard that, but he's in my 400, so
Isaac Smith used to, mate, the funniest thing was the first ever 2K we did, 2.2 or whatever it was, Brad Hill cock-a-hoot. He thought he was going to, and Izzy just quietly confident. Izzy went out harder than he's gone before, and Brad Hill just could not hang on and died in the ass.
Really?
Like, to the stage where he could hardly walk. Like, Izzy just said, righto, kid, you got a lesson to learn here.
There's that Brad Hill story about draft screening?
Yeah.
Combine.
Camp,
Yeah, 2K, when he was sitting there at the front of the pack with three or four other boys who were all blowing, just sitting there chirping the whole time. And then he came to the last, couple of hundred, you're like, oh, well, got to go, and then just took off down the straight.
Mate, Big Choco Williams ran the last 100 with me. That's how slow I was going. All right, last couple. We're just going to do a couple of field events. The high jump.
High jump for me, I'm going Howe, just for an obvious one. But the other bloke that I'd love in this, it's got the most natural hops I've seen, is probably Liam Ryan.
Oh, yeah, lethal. Mm. Yeah, don't mind it.
Well, I was going to Shea Bolton because of the mark from earlier in the year. You can do the scissor kick over the bar, obviously.
Good point. I'm going to go Tom Hawkins.
What?
I reckon he jumped 2 metres in high school.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, he won like the whole interschools and everything.
What did he weigh at the time?
Yeah, similar.
Jesus.
He was jumping over my height, so it might have been 195 or something. It was unbelievable. Yeah, so I'm 187, 188. He was clearing me, no dramas. It was unbelievable.
How does that happen?
God knows. I actually don't know. But his old man's nickname is Jumping Jack Hawkins. So he could fly. And Hawk, no different. I don't think he ever has.
Oh, 2011, he took a big, hang pack mark, didn't he, in the grand final?
So he won APS records and everything. Like, he was unbelievable at high jump.
Yeah.
I think
he's left the ground in 3-4 years.
I was going to say, he could also be the shot put candidate too, Big Tommy. Yeah. But Dill, shot put champion.
I was going to say Big Toby Green for this one. He's a powerful man. Those shoulders are built for steel and throwing things and creating havoc.
What are your thoughts on his cash converters ad, Dill? Have you seen it yet?
Oh, God, I haven't seen it yet. Please link me that because I'm going to put it straight on.
What does he end up buying? What does he end up taking?
I can't even remember, but it's I wouldn't describe it as the most fluid.
He'd get a surfboard. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming he'd pick a surfboard up. Is that true?
I don't know. Yeah, I just caught. I didn't catch the end of it.
Just walking out.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you catch?
Must have been good.
How do you catch a start of a break? An ad, mate. It's not a movie. They go for 20 seconds.
I have a thing on my side, and I just see things out of the corner of my eye.
All right, shot put for you.
Shot put for me. I went Mummy. You just want to have some weight.
Oh yeah, I've gone. I went Steve May.
Yeah.
Just big Steve, mate. Yeah. Fullback. And last but not least, we're just doing a swimming one. So you got one swimmer. That's it. There's no any event but one swimmer.
Yep. For me, this isn't on based on anything, but pure knowledge. When I was in rehab, which I was a lot at the Giants, I'd swim a lot with Jacob Hopper, who was pretty much trying to get scouted. They were trying to scout him for the Olympic swimming team. He was like a genuine gun.
Really?
So we'd be doing these sessions like, you know, 10-minute sort of swims, and he would go for hours, like hours. He's an he's a fish.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That looks like a swimmer.
Yeah, no, he looks like a block. He looks skinnier this year, though. He looks lean. Next year, I reckon he's going to be the breakout player of the comp. But
he can stop getting kicked in the head.
Yeah, that looked bad, didn't it? All right, who have you got swimming?
I just put Tommy McDonald.
Yeah,
he looks sort like of frame. Swim. He looks like he's got a swimming
looks like
frame.
A swim. Big Coxy for me, because every time we're in Fat Club together, all I could see was his big nose just getting out of the water and just going straight past me. So Dean Cox, mate, they have the big flippers on him, and not like literally just his feet, but he just fly, mate. He's motor up and back. He was good.
When he does backstroke, there's a shark warning.
Yeah, I saw a couple of them with Baz doing the swimming. So that's all I've got there, gentlemen.
Very nice. Love it. I like it.
Hey, gents, I've got one for next week. Have a think about this for next week. I want you to come prepared and do your homework.
Okay.
So I love this time of year. I love players that have been out of the team, out of favour. You think all is done.
Yeah.
And around this time of the year, a little opportunity pops up and they take their chance and they end up playing a massive, massive role in September in the finals series. I want you to identify three players for next week in that top eight that you think aren't really in the team or they're just coming in that are going to have a big impact.
Okay. Who's some of those? So it's like Jack Graham in 2017.
Did
he play the last five, six? Yeah.
Exactly. For example, someone popping to mind at the moment is Ben Brown.
I was about to say Ben Brown.
He couldn't even get a kick in the VFL. He gets an opportunity and now he's absolutely playing some incredible footy and he's really changed his game. He's actually playing quite a physical role now as well. So I think he's going to be a really big player in this year and he's given the Demons a spark they need. And I think there's a few other ones that are really going to come in and do so. Like Josh Ackie could be one for the Dogs as well that can hold down that back spot.
You know, he's not really in this category, but my favourite final series from any player, and he's kind of in this category because he played well above himself, it's Liam Picken in 2016.
Yeah.
Like every game he just dominated. He could have won the Norm Smith.
That grand final, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
But the Norm Smith medalist was Josh Kennedy, without a doubt.
Oh, that day, yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, there was fair. Oh, there was also the big, they never give the Norm Smith for just like taking the big moments, which was Tom Boyd
and Josh Kennedy was that far and better than everyone else. Yeah. He had 30 and three at three
people
quarter time.
People are scared now when you vote on it. You're real scared.
Winners only.
Yeah, you got to go you got to check the stats and you got to do the rest of it. Well, there was that famous one which Mark Duffield was involved in where they took the votes at the start of the quarter.
That's right, and they gave it to Buckley.
Gave it to Buckley, and then Voss had one of the all-time great quarters. But they used to take it early to be like, we need to get everything prepared.
Well, last year Lee Matthews gave it to Nathan Broad.
Oh, that's right, he forgot.
Instead of Short. Was it Short? Was he going to get Short? Yeah. Went to go to Broad? So Broad officially, they didn't change it. Broad officially got votes.
And then didn't they ask him the next day? Just like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Mate. What if Jaden Short misses by two votes?
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. We're going into lockdown, so enjoy.
Yeah, we'll see you later. We're going to go get some toilet paper. Dill, thanks for joining us. And,
see you, gentlemen.
Enjoy
have
your
good
break,
night.
Mate. This has been the Hardball Gets Love AFL you. Show with thanks to the all-new Mazda BT50, the complete package. See you next time.